In me, it lives not that you have to fix yourself, because I don't see you as broken or needing fixing. But what I hear you describing is an emptiness. And for me, it feels more like you need to go and fill yourself up. Not that you're broken, not that you need fixing, but you do need filling up. You need filling up with being seen and known and valued by a community, by other people. You need to find people who can mirror back to you your goodness.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conversations from the Heart. You are in the right place if you are longing to use words in authentic, kind, and direct ways to connect more deeply and to make a meaningful and positive impact on the world at home and at work. Do you want to have a new kind of conversation with both yourself and others? Let's dive in.
Good day, wherever you are, or good evening, wherever you are in the world, or whenever you're listening. Welcome to Conversations from the Heart, Wednesday morning free drop-in Q&A call. I've decided to say a little bit more about my membership program, which I do want to invite you to join, but only if it's a good fit for you. So this is set up for humans who find themselves pleasing others at their own expense and are longing for better relationships. That's really what we talk about the most, is this kind of dynamic, right? If you want to break free from cycles of codependency and you're interested in the kinds of skills you need to break the cycles of violence, to move from the shame and blame into more compassion-based, life-affirming, interdependent relationships, that's everything that we do in the membership program. This is how it works. I'm just going to give you a little bit more. We focus on speaking and listening from our hearts, and we do little samples of it here on Wednesday mornings, right? This is like the appetizer platter for what we do in the membership. You get a lot of strategic approaches and help to navigate places where you're getting stuck in your relationships. You get tools for how to create more psychological safety in your relationships so that you can melt defensiveness in yourself and other people. And you get lots of opportunities to test out new conversations before having them with the real person, okay? We do it through 4 live calls a month, and those live calls look like this. One call is a Q&A discussion where we do a deep dive into the curriculum of Human 101. You get Human 101 included when you become a member. Then we have a call that is applications, which is a lot like what we do on Wednesday mornings. Where are you getting stuck? How are you applying this in your life? But we do a lot more referencing of the specific tools that we're working on and the skills we're practicing. But there's a bring your own situations applications call. Then we are doing a new thing that we're doing that I'm very much enjoying, is a conversation dojo call every month, one a month, where you get walked through a structured activity to prepare for your next conversation. Strategic questions. It's like a study hall. It's like you come with your pen and paper and you do your own work and you can ask questions about what's coming up for you or what you're realizing and how that's going. And then the fourth call every month is an empathy practice or a skills practice call. All of these are group coaching with me. So on the empathy and skills practice call, you have a choice to work independently in breakout rooms with other people and just do empathy practice, or you can stay in the main session with me and I facilitate a structured skills practice and you can get feedback and coaching from me on how you're doing with the skills development. So those are the 4 calls that we do with me every month. That's included in the membership. And then there's a little bit more. You do get a weekly video lesson and practice by email. You get walked through the curriculum of Human 101 if you want to, but you can also just watch the whole thing all at once if you prefer. There's a community forum so that you can get people to practice with and have discussions with between sessions. Once you're a member, you get access to my advanced practice group, which is a Monday night practice group, and that is only for members, and you can self-select in. I can give people more information about that if they want to once they're members. And then there are community-led conversation practice calls. Most recently, I'm not on those calls, but these are community calls where people are gathering to practice these skills on more controversial topics. So how do we hold diverse viewpoints? How do we have a conversation where we don't all agree on something? How do we facilitate and navigate dialogues where we practice the skill of really just relaxing our nervous systems in the face of difference? And community members are leading these and practicing these and joining these, and I'm loving that. And then, of course, you get special member pricing on personal growth sessions with me. So I just wanted to give you a little bit more information today about all of that, because we've had a lot more questions. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of clarity. And with that, we're going to begin with Dan today. Dan is asking, I'm looking for validation on my strategy in working with my wife on a repeating conflict we have. Okay, Dan, where are you?
Hello. This has come up many times. It's specifically that my wife feels it necessary, or I think she really wants something out of this, that she asks me to do something for her. And I think it's something very meaningful to her that, okay, I really want you to show that you're there for me and that you appreciate me and you value me as a person. On the other hand, I'm trying to guard against being someone's doormat or slave or being told what to do. So it's a very difficult balancing act, and it's come up many times between us, and I'm trying to get past this because that's my complete nightmare, is being in a relationship where, okay, we just have the same arguments over and over again. It's like, no, that's my mom and dad. I really don't want that. Thanks, just the same. Mm-hmm. So I had the idea, and this is what I wanted to run by you, of really trying to lay it bare with her to say, okay, when these things come up like this, when you ask me to do something and I'm in a place where I don't really want to get up and do something right now, I'm in a really difficult place because I it's very hard because I, on one hand, I want to make you happy since you're my spouse. But on the other hand, when I just give in and do things, I'm not happy with myself. I feel like I'm in just a lose situation. So I was thinking of laying it like really bare like that, saying, okay, this is really hard, because I think in some way she might view it as you're being defiant of me, or you're rejecting me. This is a vote against me as a human being. So that's my challenge. So I wanted to run that strategy by you.
Well, I love the strategy of becoming more transparent about the inner conflict and leading with, like, here's the dilemma that happens inside of me. Here's my inner conflict around it, right? To help her see what it's like for you. Next steps might be, what are you hoping happens next?
Well, what I would like us to coexist as a couple where we can do things, but we don't feel the need to have others do something for us. Like, our well-being is based on somebody doing things for me. I've never been that way with her. Like, oh, I need you to do this for me because I feel like throwing my weight around and telling you what to do. So I want to get rid of the, I'm going to have you do things for me. Feels like it's let me see how well trained I can make you.
So it sounds like there's no joy at the moment in giving because it feels like an expectation and a demand.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
What would it take for you to enjoy giving things to her like that? Enjoy doing things for her?
Really, I find I enjoy things a lot more if I think of it first. Quite honestly, if I'm the one like, okay, I think she would really like if I gave her a card for this, because this is something I remember from what we did 10 years ago on this day, and send it, then I would come up with it myself and like, here you go. Okay. Then I've thought of it first.
Great. Great. I think This is the very true thing about human beings. The quickest way to take the joy out of giving is to make it an expectation or a demand. We know that. So we want to get rid of the expectations and the demands. And I think a dilemma that your wife might have, I don't know if this is true or not, is she might be asking, how can I ask for the things that I'm needing in a way that feels inspiring to you and not like an expectation?
Well, and here's the thing. It would be one thing if she would ask me something, and then if I said, I just can't do that right now, that would be the end of it. But then it becomes a discussion about, well, why not? You're just sitting there right now, or here, why can't you do this right now? Mm-hmm. I think it becomes almost a, oh no, now I really expect you to do this, as opposed to it's a request.
Yeah.
Something happened the other day, which I actually did point it out to her to say that, hey, this is a perfect example of where this works better. And she was coming at me with something that sounded like a demand. And I said, and when I heard the question for about the fourth time, would you do this? Then I said, okay, I don't feel like this is a request. This feels to me like a demand. And
okay, so pause there, right there.
Yep.
That place right there, I would pause and I would reorient a little bit. because what you're beginning to do there is try to coach her on doing it differently. And here's a different move. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, like, if somebody wants that kind of coaching, go for it. But I'm guessing she probably doesn't. And what's probably going to happen, this is just, I don't know if this is true for you and her, but for humans often, what happens here is I'm still seeing the source of the problem in how you're approaching me. So I want to teach you to approach me differently. And my
agenda
in this conversation is still trying to get you to be different so that I can feel different. And that piece I want to just put a spotlight on because we stumbled there. So let's pull back a minute and let me just point out a couple of other things to hold. The work of not feeling like you're just a doormat and just submitting to what somebody else is asking for all the time is your inner work around trusting yourself to say yes when you would enjoy doing it and to say no when you don't enjoy doing it. That isn't her job to present it differently. And let me show you the Now, we can totally ask her to say it differently. I'm not saying that it isn't a both and, but since I'm not speaking with her and I'm only speaking with you, I'm just going to put the focus on you with the caveat that, of course, there's things I would be telling her as well if she wanted the coaching, okay? Like, it's not like she's doing everything right. Okay. So one thing we can do if the other person, let's say we leave them alone for right now. Well, let me say this. The point of having a conversation about it, the one that you were running by me that I think is so great, the point of that conversation is to inspire care and connection and understanding. If the point of that conversation is to show you what you're doing that I don't like so that you change what you're doing, all the skillful words in the world are not going to have the impact you're hoping for. I think what you're telling me, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you would like to invite her into a conversation where the two of you begin thinking about this dynamic of telling each other what to do. And then the other person having the experience of being a child being parented, and you're wanting to name the when that happens and the impact it's having, and invite her into how do you and I create conditions in our relationship where we can absolutely ask one another for what would make life more wonderful for us, but we want to do it in a way that we want to also honor the choice and autonomy of the other person to only give it when it would bring them joy to give it. What would it feel like if you and I worked together to creating more of that? Let's see if we can get some of the expectations detoxed so that neither of us are feeling micromanaged and controlled by the other person, or like the other person is merely here as a strategy to meet a need and an object being used to meet a need. And what I might suggest is bringing that in more as something where you're both sitting on the couch together, looking at this problem on the table together and thinking together about how you could create a new environment for both of you. That was
creating a partnership on that.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So then I would say you're running a new idea by her, and you're wanting to know if it's inspiring to her or not, if she buys into this, if she wants it as well or not. So that would be the first. Is this a vision that she could buy into? Because just given all the work I've done with couples, I will say there are some people who are like, no, I want to be able to just tell you what to do and have you do it. And I don't understand why it's so complicated. So we want to find out if that's going on, because then we have a different starting place. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. And as I said, I think it's something really meaningful to her in some way. I've yet to figure out what it is, because I don't think acts of services is not her love language, but it's something very important to her. And I'd want to find out, okay, so why is this so important to you? There's something about it that's very important to you.
Beautiful. Pro tip, don't ask her why it's important to her, simply because the word why often triggers in people the experience of having to explain themselves or justify what they need.
Okay.
And that in and of itself.
Okay.
So if you frame it up slightly differently and say, when you're asking me to do something for you, I'm wondering what needs of yours get met by that. I want to understand what's meaningful to you about that. I want to understand the ways in which does it help you with ease? Is it effectiveness? Do you feel like you're being supported? Is it a way of trying to like work together on something? Like, what's happening there? Are you looking for more partnership from me? Are you looking for more co-creation from me? Are you looking for more collaboration from me? Is it a way of trying to connect with me? I want to understand everything that's mapping onto that for you.
So curiosity.
Yeah. And just be careful, because people have this filter where a why often triggers the I have to explain and justify what I need before I deserve to have my needs met. And that can feel
Right.
sensitivity to that. Does that make sense?
No, I hear what you're saying. It's more approaching it from a curiosity or interest standpoint of, well, I believe something is happening here, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I'm really interested in knowing because you're my wife and I care about you more than anyone in the world, and I really want to know these things.
The last piece you said about caring about her more than anything in the world and wanting to know these things is likely the piece she's going to need to hear the most. Everything before that was, I want to know, I want to understand. It was cognitive. The
Okay.
moment you dropped into your heart, I think that's part of what will unlock the dynamic.
Okay.
It's
Okay.
the difference between, I want to know why you do this, and I care really deeply about connecting with you and understanding you as you are so that I can love you better. Can you feel the difference?
Yes.
And I want
Yes,
to love
I
you
can.
better in a way that feels like it's coming from my independence and autonomy and choicefulness, because that's where it's most satisfying for me.
Yes. And in fact, I got partway through what I was talking about, but I said to her, I said, okay, well, if I said no to what you said, would you be okay with that? And just very specifically, and said, well, yeah, I would. Like, oh, really? And I was blown away. And she said, yeah, I mean, it would help me because I do blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, now right there, when you said that, now I understand. I feel like I've been heard. I feel like my message has been said to you, but I also hear what you're looking for. So that actually right there, that feels like a connection right there.
I love that. More of that.
Yeah.
You
So
are
I mean, I
doing
made
it.
sure I pointed it out to her, like, okay,
Excellent.
instead of saying something doesn't work for me, like, no, this right there, that works for me. Try to be very specific.
Yeah. And I love that you're being specific and you're using the kind of a gotcha thing in the moment to highlight the good.
Right.
To highlight
Like,
what's
hold it
working.
Right there, right where
Yes.
that is.
More of this
Yes.
is so great. That is such a pro move in a relationship to start reinforcing the things that are working, that it can be so helpful to both people, as
Yes.
opposed to continually focusing on not this, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think I've done a lot of that, and that hasn't worked. And so
Yeah.
it's like, okay, so this one is trying a different strategy. So anyway, yeah, it's more that I really want to lay it bare that there's a big conflict going in with me, and I feel that, and I'll make it very clear that it's within me, not saying, oh, you're making me do blah, blah, blah. But no,
That's
this
right.
is going on within me.
Yep.
And it's
Yep.
very difficult because I feel a pull on both sides. Like I feel the
Yeah.
pull from
Yeah.
you, I feel the pull from me, and I'm not sure how to deal with it a lot of times.
Yeah. And then put the focus, all of what you said, I love, and then bring it back to, dear wife, this is how you can help me work on my self-trust. Because the more I have self-trust, the more I can love you wholeheartedly. And I want to love you wholeheartedly. And one of the things that's getting in my own way is I agree to too many things and do them resentfully. And I want to work on this because you and I are both paying a price for that.
Yeah, in fact, we've had some discussions about, okay, hon, if you're going to do something and then resent it, please just don't do it. Please don't.
And you know what else I love about what you're bringing in, Dan, is the holding of the paradox. On the one hand, I really want to care for you and do things for you and be there for you and support you. Like, I want that in our relationship. But on the other hand, I need to find a way of navigating that that doesn't leave me feeling like a doormat. And I can
Right.
see that's my work to do. I can see that's me needing to figure out a way to say yes when I mean yes and to say no when I mean no. And there are some things that I have in mind that you could help me with if you're willing. Like, I know when you come at me with what sounds like a demand, it's far more likely that all of my defenses are going to come up and that I have all this resistance and inner conflict. And you don't have to change how you are, but it would help me if you can remember to do it like this, that, and the other thing. If it comes as more of a question, or if you could end it with, does it work for you right now? Or other, like, if we're just getting into strategies, sometimes it can be helpful when we're asking people to do things to also give the information on how urgent is this, how attached am I to it happening in a particular time frame, how much room is, like, if we can give that information up front, that can also help with the negotiation. Like, if I came and said, hey, I am super busy right now. I have to jump on a call. I'm noticing that the garbage trucks are coming and the garbage isn't out. Would you mind just running out and getting it? It's fine if you don't have time. I know I'm not going to be able to do it. Could you do it? That's a very different way of, and then you could still say yes or no. Like what you need on the other end of that is trust from her that a yes or no, you're just both going to work with it. No, I can't do it either.
Well, yeah, that it's going to be okay to say yes or no. Yes, that's the exactly. problem I feel like right now is a lot of times I don't feel like it's okay to say no.
Uh-huh. So that's another piece of the conversation.
Yeah.
That's another piece of the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got great principles that you're working. I would say keep playing with them. Keep playing with them. I think you're on the right track. And remember that the question of whether or not it works or whether or not it was the right thing will be answered by your wife's reaction. Take her reaction just as the data you need to keep calibrating and attuning to what is going to work better for the two of you. Yeah, okay. I see you nodding. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, no, I just have an idea, like I said, and I started doing it the other day. It just didn't get that far of just saying, this is a really tough one for me. And then I did, but we didn't really, instead, then she was already, oh, well, you're not going to do it. Okay, I'm gone. I was all upset at that point. But it's like, okay, I started going down that road. And I think, yeah, I think this might help to really get to that point of really saying, this is something going on for me. And it's so hard because I really feel the pull to be there for you. But I also feel the pull of being there for myself. And how do I balance all this?
Yeah. Yeah. I will be curious to know how she responds to all of this. And then we can do the next stage and the next layer. Go try some things out and then bring back wherever you're getting stuck.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Does that feel like enough? Yeah.
Yeah, good. I think so. Thank you.
Excellent. Wonderful. Thanks, Dan. Excellent. Any clarifying questions before I move to Daisy? Good. All right, Daisy.
Hello.
Here's Daisy's question. Is it okay to change my mind frequently? And here's my answer. Sure. What's next, Daisy?
I know it is. Yeah. I guess so. I'm in a little dilemma where like sometimes I like to change my mind, but when I make plans, it's like I want it to be open to change. So that's okay.
Wait, I'm going to say one more thing and then you can hone in on where you want to go with that. Of course, it's okay to change your mind as often as you want. That doesn't mean that other people aren't going to have a reaction to it that is equally legitimate. That doesn't mean everybody else should always feel okay about that or that you have a guarantee of a particular response from other people. Does that make sense? Okay. So knowing that...
I guess what I'm struggling with lately is like, I've been coming up in the same situation where like someone wants something from me and I may have said yes, but then I don't want to. So then I'm like, no.
Yep.
And then the person will be upset or hurt. And one of my friends even said that it felt abusive, but like one of the examples, just for the sake of a micro moment, was I do a lot of body work for my friends and I don't charge any money for it. At the beach and at different like contact improv stuff. I don't like to do it outside of those settings because then it's just the way that I protect my energy. And I have a friend who likes me to do the flow strokes for her. And she likes to ask for it in spaces where I don't want to give.
Great. Then you say no, and then she can be hurt or disappointed. No problem.
Yeah. That's what I thought too. Cause being called like abusive. And then she said, oh, I need to release you as a friend because of this.
Wait, so your friend is telling you about her experience and her perception and her interpretations of wrongness. And she's telling you about how she perceives it and experiences it.
Yes.
You get to decide to what degree you want to engage with that or not, whether or not that's true for you, what piece of this is learning for you and what piece of this is not learning for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So thank you. And so I keep checking in, like the three things I hear on this call over and over is being truthful, being kind, and being truthful, kind, and fearless.
Courageous, not necessarily fearless, but definitely courageous. Here's one piece. I don't know if you need this, but my mind keeps going here. I'm going to say it. If you don't need it, throw it away. The one thing that I often think we can check in on when I want to change my mind, because I don't want to do something, there's a moment where it might meet my needs for integrity and self-trust and self-care to know what it is that I'm feeling and needing and to then act in accordance with what I'm feeling and needing. that can be really good self-care on the one hand. And then I make peace with the fact that other people might not like it. They might have judgments about it. They might experience it differently. That is one piece of the dynamic. Another piece of the dynamic, once we've learned how to do that, like that's one skill. The second step is when I don't want to do something and I want to change my mind, before I only use myself as a reference point about whether or not I want to do that, I take some time and I consider the impact that it would have on the other person. And I include the other person's feelings and needs in my care and in my decision. And I allow that to influence how and whether and if it's important enough for me to only include my needs and my feelings, or when I expand my consciousness and my heart to include both of us, if my decision shifts or not. So that can be another move to move into, and that may or may not be helpful in this situation. What do you think?
Yeah, thank you. I guess the piece that is coming, revealing itself, is my work is to not like go up in my head and evaluate the other person, which is what I was trying not to do. Before, I probably would have diagnosed and been like, oh, they're just pushing everyone out of their life and it's not about me. But in this case, I noticed like a lot of what you were saying happening, like checking in and seeing what part was mine. And I really feel like I'm in alignment with myself. I just seem to have a lot of people around me who take it personal. And then I feel like it's not a request. Like my friend earlier was saying about his wife, feels like a demand because of how you treat me.
And it's true. Yeah. I think you're on the right track. Okay, great. Good question. Thanks, Daisy. Good to see you. All right. So let me just say a couple of things about this navigation. And I want to refer again, I often refer to Terry Real's relationship grid. And if you're not familiar with it, Google it and you'll find it and read all of Terry Real's books because they're excellent. But he has two axes, a self-esteem axis and a boundaries axis. And just to point out, if you tend to be high on the self-esteem axis, you're going to advocate for your own needs. And your work very often is learning how to include other people's needs. But if you go too far down on the self-esteem axis, where you abandon yourself and you put everybody else's needs first, there your work is actually bringing yourself back online more and reclaiming your no and reclaiming your permission giving to yourself to have a boundary and to not just be an object for other people to manipulate around and use to meet their needs, right? So the reason I'm bringing this up is because sometimes we need to be including other people more in our decisions, especially if we're too far up, if we're too much in a one-up position. And other times we actually need to be bringing ourselves more fully online if we have a tendency to go one down. And so it's a really great place for you to orient. I would say that most of us go one up and one down in different situations, depending on relationships. So we likely have situations where actually I'm really too much focused on me and I haven't included you enough. And then I have other situations where I'm not online on at all and I'm only thinking about you. So just to think about that in terms of what is the next move here, it's not always going to be the same for everyone. And that's one helpful way to think about, do I need to go a little bit more up or do I need to come a little bit more down? It's great access. It's a great grid. Okay, good. Any clarifying questions on this? And then I'm going to move to Prerana. Good. Okay, Prerana, I'm going to read your question. Are you here? Let's see, where are you? You're here, ready to chat?
Hi. Yes,
hi. I'm here. Okay, good. Here's the question. My family and relatives have always passed negative comments about me and compared me to my twin. I find it difficult to attend events with them or visit them, even when I find myself wanting to bond with them. How do I deal with this? Tell me more. What's the trauma? You say, how do I deal with this trauma? What's the impact on you? And what are you wanting to work on?
So I think it comes... So my twin sister, we're not identical. She's like way more prettier than me and taller than me. And she's an extrovert. So she's really nice when she talks to people. And everybody listens to her. And I'm not that talkative. And when I'm with my family, I like to talk when needed. And she's always sitting in between people and everyone's listening to her. And I've never been jealous of her. Like, I love my sister and I've always admired her individuality. But my family always Like if I visit my relatives, they'll always be like, why aren't you talking to us like she does? And they tell me that I'm not loving like her, even though I love my family, but I just don't show it so much. And they'll say things like, she initiates more and she's confident and all those things. And somewhere down the line, I think I've started believing that I'm not as great as her. And they've said more things, like I can't go into detail, but I don't feel like visiting them because whenever I visit, I feel like I'm a bad person and I don't like myself when I'm around them. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. That sounds really painful, actually. Yeah. When I feel myself into that, I'm like, the amount of hurt that I would be feeling, that I am getting these messages all the time, that my not being like someone else means that I am less valued, less good, less worthy. That would be very painful. Is it like that for you?
Yeah. So 3 years back, she went to Canada for her study. And before that, everything was fine. But ever since she went there, people have changed and they treat me differently. And I've always been someone who loves to visit my cousins and my family. But recently, I just don't feel like going to their place and talking to them. And whenever even they call, I feel like avoiding their calls.
Yeah.
And I've completely isolated myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's first just acknowledge why that is a really life-affirming and self-protective thing to do for you. Other people are intentionally or unintentionally, who knows, showing up in ways that are harmful to you. They're not seeing you or valuing. They're not giving you messages of being seen and valued for who you are. It's painful. The messages you're getting is you should be like someone else. Instead of you should be you, you should be like someone else. So the instinct you have to not expose yourself to more of that kind of self-protectiveness is really good. Can you see that? Just that piece?
Yeah.
You are allowed to protect yourself from that kind of interaction, and you're allowed to create a lot of space for yourself from that kind of feedback. So that's we can understand why that's a good move in these circumstances. But then you say you're feeling isolated, lonely. And I'm wondering, is this a conversation that you could have with any of these people about the impact of that way of being? Is that something that they would be open to or that you want to discuss with them? Or are you needing more space from that whole dynamic for a while and wanting to find your feet somewhere else before you go back to them?
I feel like I could tell them, but yeah. Most of them are really narrow-minded and they won't change their opinions. They'll be like, no, but you are like this. You should change. And they tell me that I should talk more, but sometimes I don't relate to what they are speaking about. They're like always gossiping and I don't like to engage in that. So I help them and I ask them about their lives and how they are, their health and all. I just don't gossip with them.
I see. You don't gossip with them. Okay. So you have an experience where you're looking at the culture of the family of origin and you're experiencing it as harmful and painful to you. It doesn't meet your needs to be seen and valued for who you are. And you are instinctively realizing you need to create more space between yourself and this engagement. And it sounds like you've had enough experiences with them that if you try to discuss it or talk about it, that people aren't coming into this with a growth mindset of getting feedback and attuning. They'll just use it to turn it around on you again and double down on their perspective. And so I'm sure you've tried things. So then the next move is for you to begin very consciously creating a community of people who love you for who you are, and taking in that nourishment from the people who can see and hear you and value you as you are, without comparing you to a template that they prefer that is different than you, so that you can go and do some healing work to really get your self-esteem and your self-connection and your self-worth fully online, and to fill yourself up with what I wish you could get from your family, but you weren't able to get from your family. So you've got to go find a community where you can get it because you need it. How's that landing?
Yeah, I have to visit them. Like there's a baby shower coming up and I have to be there. But I know that somebody's going to say something to me and it's going to trigger me. And I'm not be there yet, but I know I have to go. So I don't know how to be and be in that space and be nice to them and also not hurt myself with all these assumptions that they're going to say things to me.
Yeah. Let me suggest a few ideas and only do the ones that feel okay to you and don't do any that don't feel like a good fit for you. Okay. But I'll just map out some ideas for you. One is I would be telling myself, I'm choosing to go to this baby shower because it's important for me to participate and build the relationship or show up for so-and-so and so. Like whatever it is, I would get really grounded on the needs you're trying to meet for yourself in choosing to go. Even if it's as simple as, I'm choosing to go because it's easier to show up and field everything than to field all the questions about why I'm not there. Or I'm choosing to go because I'm not ready to reveal to all of my family that I'm moving away and I want to continue doing the predictable things that I would normally do so that they're not alerted to all the changes happening inside of me. Or do you have a sense of what it is in you that is choosing to go? What needs of yours are met by that?
Yeah, I feel like I have to be there for them and I don't want to be somebody who's getting all my feelings and personal things inside all of this because it's important for them and it's family. So
is that important for you also or not?
Not so much, honestly, not so much.
So are you going in part because I want to show them that I respect and honor their values, even if I don't share their values?
Yeah.
So that I don't give them another thing to criticize about me?
Yeah.
Okay. So then hold it as, I'm going because it's an act of self-protection to minimize the amount of judgment that might come my way. But find a way of holding inside of you your reason for going being something that is good for you, not because it's good for them. Take that one more step. Do you see what I'm suggesting there? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Because I always put myself in this position where I'm like, so if I fix myself, then I'll start going to these family events. If I feel better, when I feel better, then I'll start going. So I think if I go right now, that will be that, then I will start the process.
I want to offer another reframe for you hearing that. In me, it lives not that you have to fix yourself, because I don't see you as broken or needing fixing. But what I hear you describing is an emptiness. And for me, it feels more like you need to go and fill yourself up. Not that you're broken, not that you need fixing, but you do need filling up. You need filling up with being seen and known and valued by a community, by other people. You need to find people who can mirror back to you your goodness after having had an overdose of people mirroring to you what they don't like about you, your not enoughness, your should be more like this and less like thatness. So you get a lot of communication about how you don't measure up or how you're not fitting the template that they have for you. And there's two things. Is that the right template for you? Probably not. So people are projecting onto you a template that isn't true to your authentic self. So that's going to feel like a mess. And then the second piece is, where are you going to get filled up so that you can be your fullest self? And when you're filled up, I agree with you, you can go back into these situations and they will not feel as painful. Once you have your own self-esteem fully and your own self-worth fully installed. But it sounds like, if I'm hearing you right, you haven't had enough support from your family and communities to get your self-esteem and your goodness fully installed so that you can come into these situations with deep self-trust and self-love. And so that's the thing to focus on getting. And minimizing exposure to people who keep taking away, draining that from you is healthy. And finding the people who enjoy your more perhaps reflective, introverted, thoughtful, whatever it is, like find the people who intrinsically love and enjoy that more than all of the puppy dogs in the world. Yeah. And once you have that full in you, not fixed, but filled up, then you're not going to be swayed as easily. You're not going to be blown down as easily when you're around your family. Because it's, think of it a little bit like when a tree is growing. When it's in a seedling stage, if an elephant walks through the woods, it can just stand on the seedling and crush it because it's not big enough yet to withstand the elephant. But once it's grown into this massive banyan tree, the elephant just walks around it and the tree isn't so vulnerable anymore because it's filled up with its fullest potential. It's got the strength. But that seedling didn't need fixing. It just needed to grow. It needed to fill up. It needed to have what it needed the nutrients that it needed to get its fullest potential. And the soil you're in right now doesn't have enough nutrients for you. How is that analogy landing for you?
Yes.
And as you fill up with self-love, which you will get from other relationships, then you will grow like a really strong tree, and then you will be able to field your family in a new way. But while you're a seedling, it's really good to have some protection around that ceiling so the elephants don't keep walking on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hearing that, what comes up next? How else can I be helpful? What am I getting right? What am I missing?
More of how do I be present in those moments when all of this is happening? My mind is running continuously.
Yeah. Maybe it can be a practice of living from your observer self instead of your personality self. Do you know what I mean by that?
I should observe my thoughts.
If you can get your attention into the part of you that can watch, oh, when they say this, oh, wow, that really hurt. And there they go comparing me again. And wow, my body gets really tense when that happens. And yeah, there's the sentence again about how I'm not as blah, 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 as so-and-so. Connect with yourself. I'm disappointed. I feel sad. I feel lonely. Yep, this is the experience. This is what it's like. I'm going to gather the data of what it feels like to be in this environment. I'm going to watch like a scientist. This is what they say. This is the impact on me. These are all the feelings that are coming up. This is how painful it is. This is how disappointed I am. This is how lonely I am. Oh, and then look what I do. I smile and I ask them about them. This is how I cope. These are my coping mechanisms. Oh, look at how I've adapted. Like if you can keep your attention more in the part of you that can watch what another part of you is experiencing and doing, it might help you gather the data you need to see clearly about what's happening without taking it too personally, in the sense that there's anything that you can do about it in this moment, and watch it. And then maybe as you're watching it, I wonder what it would be like to try to relax into it. This is what they've always done. This is how it always impacts me. I'm choosing to be here for another round of experiencing this, and I can leave anytime. When it's become too much, I can leave. I can at any point bow out and remove myself from this. I don't actually have to be here. I'm choosing to be here to gather data another time. Does that feel helpful or not really?
Yes, it does.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I almost feel like not going, but yeah. I would go just to try this exercise and see how I feel.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that takes you. Like, it sounds like you're curious. Like, I wonder what would happen if I could practice more of that kind of mindfulness.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, just as a big picture thing, I don't know that this is really aligned with exactly the moments that you're working with right now, but let me just paint out a big picture thing for a moment. Some of the other practices that people can find helpful would be trying to understand what need they're trying to meet when they're doing these horrible things, right? That these are just, if you can just see it as these are just their habitual strategies for trying to meet a need of theirs. And in a very twisted and distorted and unfortunate way, it's possible that in them, it lives like this is how they think they're being loving. This is how they think they're trying to contribute to your well-being. This is how they're trying to show you that they're invested in you and that they care about you. That doesn't mean that the way they're doing it isn't hurtful and isn't harmful and doesn't need to be updated and isn't not aligned. But sometimes people find some relief in at least understanding that the intention might be good. Now, if their intention isn't good, if like we don't want to make something better than it actually is, sometimes we're in families where people are very invested in the idea that if I make you suffer more, you will be good. And so what I'm trying to do is make you suffer more because I think that's the pathway to helping you be good as I understand good. And that can be very painful, and that's different. Then we don't want to say there's a good intention. Then it really is. You are trying to make me suffer. You are trying to make me feel bad. And then I want to see that really clearly and not be available for that, because that isn't actually how people heal and grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is actually harmful. How's that all landing?
I don't think they want, I don't know. I don't think they want to make me suffer, mm-hmm. but I feel like they don't even understand what they want.
Yes.
And they just want to take things or contribute, thinking that it's going to be helpful,
yes.
not realizing that it can be hurtful.
Yes.
Automatic for me.
Yes, absolutely. And so one step is raising their awareness and helping them see that it is hurtful and asking them to adjust and do it in a different way. And then if we don't think that's going to get us anywhere, we've tried that and it doesn't work, that they're just going to stay with their unconscious strategies, doing what they've always done because they're going to double down on it, then we take back control of how much we're going to be around that and how much we want to interact with that or not. And I think this is part of what many people do as they leave families, is they get more and more distance from their families so that they can go and figure out who and what they are. They get stronger, they build their own self-esteem, we all go get our own skillfulness. And then we try to come back to our families with a new set of capacities and skills to see if we can now connect with them as we've gone and gotten the nourishment that we didn't get there. How are you doing now?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, good, good, good.
It's actually, when I was a kid, everyone was like, oh, she's so quiet. That's so sweet. She's really calm. And now when I've grown up, she's like, why is she so quiet? Why doesn't she speak?
Yeah. I wonder if there's any humor you can just see in that. Like sometimes that's just how people are communicating and they don't mean it. And to the degree that I feel okay with me, it's not going to be injurious. But to the degree that I haven't yet figured out how to love me and be okay with that in me, did I say that right? It's gonna feel bad. And when I love me, I can just be like, ah, yeah, you want me to talk more. But remember, I'm the calm one. I'm the calm and quiet one. That's my super. And you'll be able to hold that differently.
I love that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, don't buy into the fact that you are here to be what other people need you to be. You are here to be you, and you can invite other people to love you as is. Yeah, I'm the emotional one. Yeah, I'm the verbal one. I'm the one who uses all of the words. Like, this is the other thing. You can take all of the criticisms and own them. Yeah, I am that one. I am the one who is very thoughtful and thinks before she speaks. Good?
Amazing.
Okay, good. Good luck with the next interaction and the shower, and bring back anything that you want to talk about on the back end of that. Okay, excellent. Good for now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. Perfect.
Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a great question. I will say the principle of playfulness, when you can bring in playfulness, is just disarming to so many of these concepts. If you can relax your nervous system and bring a sense of play. Now, it takes a lot of capacity building and healing work to be able to get there. I understand that. I'm not saying we can just order it up. But part of it is, as always, setting a new intention. What is my intention? And then putting your attention on the data that's going to help you live into that intention. That's a big piece of how we do this journey. Beatrix.
Yes. So just a short comment, because Prerana seems to be so young that sometimes going away from the family and moving to a different city or a different country or a different continent is very helpful, because you can live in a much freer, more freer way and to how you want to live. And there are no expectations and no boxes and no traditions. And so just a thought.
It's a lovely thought. It's a lovely thought. Let me see a show of hands on the call right now. How many of you have had the experience of leaving something to find yourself? Look at all the hands. Look at it. There's everyone. Just look at all the hands. We leave first. And then we come back with something new. It's a very, absolutely, look at all those hands. Yeah, I think you're talking about something that is a really common human experience, that need to go on the journey and then bring something new back. What's it like to see that, Prerana, when you see all of those hands going up and all of those people coming on screen for you? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it feels like everybody goes through almost the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. You guys, thank you so much for being here on a Wednesday morning. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. Have a wonderful week. Just a friendly reminder, if this episode resonated with you, please share with your family, friends, and coworkers. And if these conversations leave you wanting more, please consider joining my monthly membership program, where you can join me live to keep growing with a community of open-hearted, like-minded people just like you. There are more free resources, including a quiz to help you assess your preferred listening style, at yvetteerasmus.com, and a lot of free videos on my YouTube channel. Remember, personal growth is a journey and not a destination, so please keep loving up all your awkward, messy, and imperfect parts as you go. See you next time.